Season of Epiphany. It's a big word. And we Presbyterians have not always celebrated Epiphany. But I think it's worth looking at. Epiphany actually starts tomorrow. Tomorrow's actually Epiphany, but, you know, we're going to hurry it up just today. We've been very patient so far. We've had our kings from the Orient sitting over here in the windowsill for all of these weeks of Advent and up until today. And it's the Epiphany season when we're talking about light. So we still have our Advent candles. We still have our lights, our candles here, but we've also added some light up there. Because we are celebrating the light of the world coming in to our lives. And throughout this season of Epiphany, we're going to be talking about each Sunday the various ways we see Christ breaking in to this world of ours. And our readings today, going back to Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Well, it was a pretty dark world for those people. Their lives were shadowed by doubts, by fears. Some of them had stayed in Jerusalem after the defeat, while others had been taken into captivity. And now there were some of them coming back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. The only problem was that they had hoped for this great flood of new life. Only it was coming back in a trickle. They also did not have the resources they had hoped to have to rebuild Jerusalem. And so in this time when they are saying, "Arise, shine, for your light has come," the people are feeling kind of dark and discouraged. To me, it's a lot like winter in the Northern Hemisphere, where we have an awful lot of darkness in the day. An awful lot of people suffer from seasonal affect disorder. We go around sad. So there's this play during this season of dark and light. To me, it's a lot like a Rembrandt painting. You know, if you look at a Rembrandt painting, there's always one side of a face that's in dark shadow. You can hardly see it. And then the other side has this bright light on it. And I think it's kind of like that this season of the year. But it was like that for these people in Jerusalem at the time that Isaiah wrote. There was a need for this light to shine, for them to have hope again. And so it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." That "for" is like saying, because your light has come, you can rise up. It's kind of like when the sun comes up and we have longer days, it's a whole lot easier to get up. I don't know about you, for me it is. I'm a lover of light. I would make a very poor Scandinavian. So I love my light. But I do like the Scandinavian habit of going to sit in the sun and face the sun and just soak it in. And that's the way I feel about the light of the world that has come. And when this light comes, when finally these people in Jerusalem lift up their heads and look at the light, they see the most amazing thing. They see people coming back into Jerusalem. There's a flood of things to look at. Look around. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. And you're going to rejoice, of course. And the wealth of nations is being brought to you. Flocks of sheep are being brought to you. But it's not to enrich us personally, we folks of Jerusalem. It is so we can praise the Lord. It says, "They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." It's not about enriching selves, humanity. It's without returning to the Lord, the bounty, and glorifying God. And so these people of Jerusalem will take some of these flocks and they will sacrifice them to the glory of God. And so there's going to be this radiant light in Jerusalem, because they're all celebrating God, and they're going to bring, attract people from everywhere to Jerusalem by their love of God and what God has done for them and their praise for God. And God makes a habit of breaking into the world with bright light. It's a theme we find. The waters hovered over the darkness. The darkness hovered over the waters. We hear in Genesis, right before the creation. And God created the light. And then there was this brilliant star in the sky. Now, these men were used to looking at the stars. So this light that they saw must have been something supernatural, because otherwise, why would it have gotten their attention? Why would they have left their comfortable homes in the east? Why would they have left their practice of astrology to travel over dangerous roads for 2 years to see where this star led them? And so they left their homes and they traveled. And they finally arrived, not at this manger scene, but to a place where the Christ child was already growing. The family had moved and were living in a home. But in order to get there, those magi or wise men needed to step out in faith to follow that brilliant light that was God breaking into their world. And God wanted them to do something. So they followed that star, and where did they end up? Asking Herod, of all people, the directions to the place for his rival king. We know they were not Jews, because they would have known that the Messiah was to be born in the city of David. Herod himself secretly went and asked his advisors where this Messiah was to be born. And they told him. And this is in a culture where openness is very important. They kept their doors open all day long. They did all of their business out in the public square. So everybody was open to scrutiny. So honesty and openness were important. And yet here we have Herod hiding behind closed doors with his advisors to find out about this Messiah. So he represents a world of dishonesty, corruptness, and these wise men from the east are so naive that they ask Herod, of all people, where the Messiah is to be born. They represent the faith that comes from following the light of God. And Herod represents the darkness of corruption, of an oppressive ruler. They come ready to worship. And as we learn in the next verses, Herod is ready to kill. And these wise men, yet again, are led by God when they are told in a dream of all things, kind of like Joseph, go home another way. Don't go back to Herod. And so they go home by another way. Evil Herod, darkness, the bright star, God's light breaking into the world. The question is, are we ready for that light ourselves? Are we like the Rembrandt painting with that very dark side to us and that very light side? And the light side is ready to embrace and say, yes, God, I'll follow you wherever you take me. And the dark side is saying, I don't know. This looks pretty hard. The bright side is saying, glory to God for all I have. And the dark side says, I did it myself. We are, after all, a nation of self-made people. And we take great pride in accumulating and achieving on our own. So during this season of Epiphany, we should be careful about criticizing people like Herod for their dark side, because we need to look at our own first. And say, are we willing to follow that light where God breaks in? Even if it's just a little glimmer that suggests maybe we need to step out of our comfort zone and do something different. Do something for God. Give a little more to the church or to others. Will we follow that light? And let it lead us to glorify God in all that we do. And if we do, will we, like Jerusalem, be like a beacon and attract others to the work of God here? Let us pray. God, help us be open to your light breaking into our lives. Help us not to say, oh, no, that can't be God, but say, yes, it's God. What do you want, God? Help us to follow you, God, where you would have us go. Amen.